Okay, now we're about to read the Shema. The Shema means hear. The word Shema means hear with understanding. Once the Shema begins, it cannot be interrupted. It means if you have something to say, speak now or forever hold it.
Are you holding?
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn, and thy wine, and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, that the land yield not her fruit, unless ye perish quickly from the good land which the Lord giveth you. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied in the days of your children, in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth.
Do you realize that all the kids can now say the books of the Bible?
I thought you weren't supposed to interrupt.
I'm not interrupting him. We are looking. Okay.
Let's fill it.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a riband of blue, and it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it, and remember all the commandments of the Lord, and do them, and that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye used to go a-whoring, that ye may remember and do all my commandments, and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God.
Amen. Genesis, chapter something. We made it through four verse.
We were getting to all the names when you were telling us how you weren't going to tell us about all the names.
Yeah, we finished verse 15.
The one thing I was curious about in all this stuff about the people, why he talked about what they did for a living. Why would that be important?
Like because, blah, blah. It's because each one of those is a well, let me put it another way. He did it here at the earliest part to show us that no matter what the work is, what we did, or what we do, that first of all, it was ordered by him, and secondly, that it was revelatory. In other words, no matter what work, no matter what your hands find to do in it, can be revelation. Okay?
But the things he chose for them?
No, they don't have any special importance. Okay. It's just like, for instance, da-da-da-da-da-da.
Okay.
All right.
I want to say one more thing before we do it. The last couple days, I've realized how much I need everybody here.
And I don't think I've ever seen it so clearly. How much I need you.
And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod. On the east of Eden. The word Nod means wanderer or wandering. That there's no, there's never a place where Cain could go where he felt at ease or at rest. There was never a place of rest or of peace for Cain or his descendants. That's what the land of Nod means. To the east, well, we'll see, east is extremely important in terms of the directions around the altar. Different sacrifices are sacrificed at different places on this north, south, east, or west side of the altar. Suffice it to say that the east side is the evil side.
You know what's weird, even at this point, is that the story is revolving around Cain, and to me the story was over when Abel got slain, in a way. I mean, it was just like, well, the good guy got killed, and now we're following the bad guy around.
Yeah, well, for a while. Now we see the next one. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. Now Enoch is the Hebrew word shanuk, or chanuk, which I can't pronounce Hebrew. But it means to train up or discipline. And it's in the scriptures where it says in the book of Proverbs, train up a child in the way he should go, and in the latter day he will not depart from it. That doesn't mean anything about, you know, training up these little kids and then in their old, they'll... It means train up the child. There's only one child. Train up Christ in the way he should go. And in these days, he cannot depart from it in you. Okay? Doesn't have anything to do with Adam. Especially little monsters like whoever that is.
That was strange.
That too.
So Enoch the child.
Huh?
Enoch the child. So then everything
that Enoch a child
is going to show them.
Right. Now, does everybody, can everybody name... Well, let's, we're going to do a spot. We're going to start doing spot quizzes. But
can everybody, what are we going to ask?
I'll bet you we can't. No, don't ask because we can't.
No, I'm curious.
And he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. And unto Enoch was born Irad. And Irad begat Mehujael. Mehujael begat Methusael. And Methusael begat Lamech. Now, we're going to study all of these names here later. We're going to study these names when we get over to chapter 10 and more. So anyway, I'm not going to go into all of them, but each one of these means something. And Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of one was Adah, and the name of the other Zillah. And Adah bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents, and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal, and he was the father of all such as handle the harp and the organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. And Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech. For I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. For I have slain a young man, as a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. Now, do you have Are my notes done at the office? I mean, the my handwritten notes? Will you guys agree with me that we'll wait? I know that that's important, but I can't answer your questions right now. Okay?
Well, but the gist of it is that Cain is, it's like the curse on him is sevenfold, and the curse on
Lamech is 70.
Just to get us past that point.
Okay. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. Now.
Wait a second. So Adam knew Eve again?
Mm-hmm.
I thought she died before Abel died.
Again, none of this is chronological. You have to get rid of thinking chronological when you think about the Bible. It cuts in and out, goes back and forth. Linear time is of no importance to the Hebrews. But now, do you understand that this is the first male child after the death of Abel and the birth of Cain? Seth means instead of. Have any of you been involved in the New Age movement at all? Been to any of these New Age bookstores?
Yeah.
Okay. Then there is a whole series of books called The Book of Seth. And Seth is this being that somebody channeled, right?
Yeah.
And Seth is this being that's being channeled through an individual, I don't even remember who it is, that speaks. And Seth Speaks was the first book.
Yeah.
And then there's bunches and bunches of Seth books.
Seth gets his own series.
Seth gets lots and lots of chicks.
No, in fact, Seth Speaks is extremely close to the truth. But it's one twist away. So that it talks about these massive ancient mysteries, and they're right on, and then it's the way it comes on, the way it gets twisted is it comes to you as an instrument of self-realization. But anyway, I don't know that he's ever claimed it, but this Seth individual, but this is the first use of the word Seth, and it means instead of. And so in many ways, Seth is the Antichrist. It's instead of Christ. Remember, anti means Seth. Seth and anti mean the same thing. It's Seth Christ or Seth HaMashiach. And God's...
It's like this is the replacement for Abel?
Yeah. Abel's replacement. And God said, for God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. Now, the next one is, well, and to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. That can be translated 15 different ways. It can be said that men begin to call, like pray to God, or it can be said that men begin to call themselves by the name of the Lord, but I believe what it says is that in this time of Seth, men begin to ascribe the name of the Lord to their idolatry, to their stuff. And so in truth, Cain was the first member of Babylon, and Seth was his prophet. They began to ascribe the name of God to their idolatry, to the things that they thought was important. You understand? And it's never stopped. All right, that closes the book, if you will. That closes the book of one of the 11 books of the book of Genesis. Now we go on to another book. And the other book starts out, this is the book. It's a good way to start out. This is the book of the generations of Adam. So what is the first book? This first book is in essence the generations of the earth. And the next, now we start in the generations of Adam.
I've never heard that before, but Genesis is divided up into
11 books.
Like 11 sections.
There were 11 family histories. Is everybody asleep?
No.
I'm sleeping. I'm just not here.
I didn't sleep all this week. That's why I'm here.
Just the food.
There's something that keeps going around me. I think it was when you started talking about genealogies and stuff. But it's like when I was a kid, I used to read a lot of science fiction. There's a whole area of stories that would talk about how men were going to take a journey that, you know, lasted like a billion light years or, you know. And what they would do is they would put in a suspended animation, or, and they could put sperm or fertilized eggs and then later hatch them, and it would be like no time passed. And somehow it keeps going around in me, this idea, you know, about being in the loins of Abraham, and about how now as men are beginning to multiply, it's like Adam is being multiplied, and each facet of Adam is being, each little piece of Adam is being manifest, or something, I don't know. I mean, there's just stuff rattling around in here.
Well, it's not the piece of Adam that's being manifest. Adam was created only so that he could be a vessel for the seed in the spirit, but so that he could be the anti-type. He's Adam, and after the flesh and all other religious activity is Babylon. So the offices of Babylon are being staffed here. Understand?
Navy.
Genesis 5. This is the book of the generations of Adam. Book is the Hebrew word sefer, and it means the scroll. And as I said, then this book presents the family tree or the descendants of Adam. You have to see that this is your history and your future after the flesh. When we read about the flood, you have to see that you died in the flood. When we read about the destruction of Edom, you have to see that you died at Edom. I mean, it's the story that's repeated over and over and over and over again in the Old Testament in a three-year cycle. For the next 3 years or 2 years plus, you'll see this story over and over again. It's the death of Adam, is the descent or the purpose of Adam. In the temple, the sin offering was made many, many times during each day. You think it's strange that you have to pick up your cross or remind you that you're crucified or that you're not getting any better. The purpose of the book of Genesis is to show you that you're not intended to get any better. It's only when you read the New Testament, because of its translation into English, do you get the idea that you're supposed to improve. That's a very... Really, the idea of man improving only came on the scene in the 1850s. It was called social Darwinianism. Prior to that, the idea that you would improve your lot as the race really wasn't existent.
You were already the highest order of creation.
Right. So it's the same thing that we think about things getting better and you're improving. That's new in history. And it had to come on the scene at the last part of the testing, just before the end, so that the cosmetic of the bride could be seen, because it would make the test really difficult. You understand? If you knew from everything in your that you could not be any better than you were, then, and you couldn't improve your lot in life, then you would, your test would be totally different. The idea of private, can you imagine, I mean, think of it, can you imagine the idea of private property and free enterprise? It's a ludicrous concept. The only thing that makes any sense from the standpoint of the mystery is to have a king and have serfs on the land. But in the wisdom of God, he allowed the Antichrist, the evil one, the devil, to create the concept of free enterprise and democracy. So that every man could fulfill it would cause every man to believe he was his own king.
That's why, because modern religion ties free enterprise and so forth into Christianity.
Yeah, well, it's just crazy. It never existed before. America was created to reveal the whore. That's why America. Well, that's why the idea of the freedom of you go to the church of your choice and expect to be moved by God. It's ludicrous.
Is that thinking that you're your own king? Is that the sin of the Amorite?
Well, the Amorite's one of them. I mean, that's one of the sins of the Amorite. We'll get to that. But can you see how ludicrous the American way of life is? I mean, it's no more or less ludicrous than any, but the American way of life shows the mystery less than any other kind of government there is. The American way of life shows that every man is his own God.
It's like the perfect breeding ground for self-seeking.
That's right.
I never heard, also, crime and murder, that's a perfect breeding ground for more and more crime.
That we have to get less and less and less and less. The social fabric of America has to fall and fall and fall and fall, because it's the picture of your fall. It's the picture of Adam's fall. So this book that we're studying here, The Generations of Adam, it's going to reveal all that in this book. And if you can open your eyes and see, you will see that the idea of America is a social aberration.
What's interesting is the rest of the world is now trying to follow suit.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah.
That. I mean, that's bizarre when you think about it.
Catch up.
Because pretty soon the whole world could be
that one. That's why the end has to be soon. I mean, do you realize how wild it is for you to be hearing this kind of stuff?
Yes,
yeah,
right. Yeah. I must say that it goes through my head that it's like sedition or something. It's like slightly dangerous.
Oh, yeah. It is. We could get arrested for this.
Yeah, this is so
dangerous. No, this is
much worse than that.
This is the most dangerous.
No, it's worse than communism.
Yeah.
If we were in a communist country, we'd be arrested. If we were in a free enterprise country, we'd be arrested. If we were in a kingdom, we would be arrested. There's no place that we could ever be in this world in which we wouldn't be a direct threat to the establishment, to the established order. It's impossible. But here I hope you see it more clearly. The generations of Adam will see as your descendants.
It is amazing to me the idea that this is this society, this what we've got here is the perfect breeding ground for self-seeking. All the stuff about instant gratification and instant burnout, and kids 13, 14, 15 years old who have already had every sexual encounter you can imagine, drug, alcohol, whatever, and there's nothing left.
That's right. And that's good.
There's no what if.
It's suicide.
Okay, now, don't let this one escape you. Don't let this idea escape you, because if you still are of the opinion that your life can improve and your lot can improve as time goes on, because we live in this great country of America, you are so deceived, and you will be so sorely disappointed that you will not be able to continue in this mystery. If you were living in almost every other age besides this one, you would have been born either a king, and if you were, you were, hopefully if you were a good king, you would have realized you were just here as a part of a mystery, or a serf. If you were a serf, your lot could not improve because you were born into it. There was no way that you could improve out of it. Do you understand? You were there by right of birth or by curse of birth, and it could not be improved. Now, all myth has as its predicate the idea that you were born into something and then by self-seeking and the glorious quest, you rose out of it. Well, even the myth of the storytellers before there was writing or television or radio, the storytellers would tell of these great ancient myths. But they'd always get it slightly twisted, just like we've got everything slightly twisted. They didn't make it as it was Christ seeking the bride coming out of the mire. They said and twisted it so that you could come out of the mire and you could do your thing. The scriptures say something incredible. It says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we see Him, we shall be like Him." But you don't try to see Him in your dreams or your hopes or ambitions. You are so tied to this world system that all you do is to try to see more of you. You understand? And that's the evil. It doesn't say that you should be like Him when you see you. You should be like Him when you see Him. But everything in life, including every cell of your body, is an enemy against that. Every cell of your body and everything in this world will tell you that men shall praise you when you do well for yourself. Your mind shall praise you when you think of great thoughts, how to improve yourself. You can get all excited about how your life is going to improve if you only had the right education. It's a lie. Or how your life would improve if you only had the right job. It's a lie. Or how this would improve if you only had the right that. It's also a lie. As we see Him, not as we see you, or you see you. Do you understand? Any attempt at seeing you is self-realization. Any attempt at seeing you tomorrow in your dreams is a lie. Now, the reason this is so hard for you to understand, it's the only way you think. I'm telling you that every part of you is total evil. There's no way that you can think a good thought about your life for your tomorrow's work. And you're sitting here taking it like a bunch of idiots. When you will leave here, or probably right now, are thinking about some great thing you're going to do tomorrow. Or the next day. Or if you did this, then I can do that. Or I've got this great plan that I can do this. The generations of Adam show us that the best that Adam can be is dead. Do you hear this? Do you hear this? Your life isn't going to improve. You were born into a position. It's stupid to try to improve. All you're doing is being, you're a great undertaker. You're putting makeup on a corpse. Oh, I'm going to go teach this corpse some great stuff. If I can only con my mind into thinking the right way, then this corpse is going to get it right. Who shall deliver you from this body of sin and death? No one. When that recognition hits you, then the resurrection can take place. And all power in heaven and earth is given over to you at that instant, with no effort, with no tomorrow. But if you love to sit there and muse over your hopes, and over the generations of Adam, the greatness that Adam can be in you, and how happy Adam can be when this and that happens, am I communicating?
Yeah.
The generations of Adam. This is the book of the generations of Adam. It's two men in the Bible. Adam and Christ. First Adam, last Adam. Everything about you that you can feel, hear, see, touch, or smell is the first Adam. Everything about you that is unseen is the last Adam, Christ. The generations of Adam, the first Adam, are towards sensory perception and work and effort. The generations of the last Adam are toward rest and peace and mercy and forgiveness. This is the book of the generations of Adam. And the day that God created man in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam. So much for feminism. So much for, what's the opposite of feminism? Chauvinism. So much for either one of them. There's neither male nor female. And called their name Adam in the day when they were created, and Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. God created Adam in his image, but after the fall, men were in the image of Adam, no longer in the image of God. Do you understand?
Well, if in his image is, means to contain God, like a glove, a child that was in Adam's image, which would be someone, man, Adam could pour all his shit into him. You know, like, we do our children, just try to make them
copy
ourselves.
This is a separate scroll, right?
Separate story.
Okay, it's a separate story. But even though it's a separate story, it has left out the fall and the first two sons. Isn't that weird?
No, not because, I mean, they were already covered in the next one. I mean, the last one.
I guess, I mean, I'm thinking of two separate scrolls. It seems really weird that one would leave out things that massive. Well, I'd particularly just go to the cut out the first two sons. One dead, one disowned, not even there.
And then all the children of Cain.
Not even there.
I wonder what that could mean.
Right on your face. Get out of here. Means you edited it.
What?
It means Harry edited it.
Go to Job 14. Now, I'm going to give you some scriptures. Go to Psalm 14. Read 1 to 3, Harry. Ed, go to Psalm 51 and read 1 to 6. Tylene, go to Job 14. And read 1 to 4. September, go to Romans 5 and read 12 to 21. Daryl, go to Romans 3 and read 10 to 18. And Tara, go to Job 25. What? Psalm 51, 1 to 6. Okay, everybody got their place? Well, he's looking down. God is now looking at the children of men, the children of men, the children of man, the children of Adam, 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 of blood. He's looking all and see all of God's little creatures, all in the brotherhood of man and the fatherhood of God, and he's saying all that kind of, well, it's wonderful. And now he starts talking.
What do the books say?
What do the books say?
Where are you?
Psalm 14.
The fool has said in his
heart. Wait a minute. Is everybody there? That wants to be there? I can just listen.
I can zoom on through.
Okay.
The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good.
Now he's talking about the fool. But who says in his heart, not who says with his words. In other words, he says in his heart, therefore his actions follow it. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. His heart determines his actions. His actions will be as if there were no God. Do you understand? The fool says in his heart, there's no God. The one that has a chance says with his mouth, there is no God. But the fool says with his heart, there is no God, and acts accordingly, even though his mouth speaks great swelling words.
The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if...
Who did he look at?
Children of men.
Children of men, children of Adam. First one he saw was Seth.
And to see if there were any that did understand and seek God.
Go ahead.
Oh. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one.
Go ahead.
Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord?
Okay, they are. Well, maybe it says they're all gone aside except. Or they're all together become filthy except.
No, not one.
What religion says is, well, that's before you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior. Jesus.
You did a good rig doing religion.
Do you understand? Religion tries to take the dead flesh and make it neat by putting Jesus' name on it. There's all together gone astray. There's none good. There's no not one. They're all unrighteous. They have become filthy. Okay? Romans 51. I mean, Psalm 51. Romans 51. That's good, all right.
I thought you said Genesis worked out up to not a Genesis 51. Sometimes having trouble. Look,
big fun, though.
Psalm 51. Read the first six verses.
Have mercy upon me, O God. Now
before we do this, I want this one is in honor of Barbara.
Yeah.
Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward part, and hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom.
Okay. That's the highest that intellect and reason can take man. Yeah. Understand that? The best that man can do is to say, I've sinned. Now, when you take that, religion says, or your you know, the stupid guys say, I have done wrong, but I'm going to do better next time. Or I used to be bad, but now I'm a good guy.
I'll never do it
That's so much horse hockey. See, horse hockey is probably going to become, if we do, that's illegal. That would be legal.
Is it like excrement?
Huh?
Even nicer than excrement.
We can't see excrement. We're going to get excrement. You cannot say. You can't say excrement. You can't say poop either. You cannot say poop.
What?
You
said it, Dan. I can say that.
I have to go.
I'm going
to
call her. Barbara.
I'm going to launch a submarine.
Yeah, let's
take
Tommy Torpedo.
He changed
for
me.
Okay. Now we are going to... Job 14.
Y'all are good. 14 for a while.
Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble.
Ha!
I'll say.
Ha!
He cometh forth like a flower and cut down. He cleaveth also as a shadow and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such an one, and bringest me into judgment with thee, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean, not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds, with he cannot pass, that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest till he shall accomplish as in
harrowing
his day.
Okay. Do you ever wonder why, on television, let's take television, that the highest rated programs are the ones that are about disasters? That if there's a wreck, you almost have to stop and watch it. If there's a plane wreck or something, that if you read the television or even the newspaper, it's all about murder and death and destruction. Well, and so all these idiots are trying to go, well, why don't you have a good news station? Well, because nobody would watch. It'd be boring. The reason is that man is created to perceive vanity. The gut. That's what we're talking about here. The best that man can be is vanity. So what they've done so far is they know this by accident. You understand? But they don't know why. That's why I want us to produce.
Yeah, what they got to do though is they got to get into that realm, but pull back, because if you don't pull back, then yeah, nobody's going to buy cereal or cars or perfume or any of that.
It's like all those.
You got to.
It's always killing me at the end of every news show about, you know, there'll be an earthquake in San Francisco or tornado or flood or everything. The last thing they close with is some teary-eyed woman, somebody standing there. We're going to rebuild.
Because you know what they did that, then.
But I'm telling you something. If you didn't do that, which you guys are just talking about, you would have the highest rated program immeasurable, unimaginable ratings.
I don't disagree.
If you just went ahead and showed the death?
Showed the vanity of it, showed the stupidity of it. The programmers and program directors and news directors will always pull back one step because they can't speak of their own death. Do you understand?
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying if a group like us got in control of the media, Katie bar the door.
I'd like to meet Katie.
She's the same as the fat lady that sings. You understand?
You know, that's true in music. I mean, those really sad songs where I lost you and I'm never going to get you back and stuff like that, and there's like no hope, always goes straight to number one, particularly in like Hispanic markets. I'm serious, you know, like a minority or lower income.
Like those third world guys.
Well, I mean, you don't
know. Like Swedes, Germans.
The reason I think about it is because of San Antonio, you know. It was always like the worst possible song of ripping your heart out, she died, I hate you.
Stompa, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was always
all my
like,
exes live in Texas, that's why I hang my hat in Tennessee.
All right. Do you understand? Okay. Who is next? Next is
September,
and September is reading from Romans 5. Wait a minute. Romans 5, 12 through something, okay.
Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law sin was in, what's law sin?
No. For until the law, sin was in the world.
For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law.
You understand?
Yeah.
I just read it wrong. Nonetheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after this similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offerings, so also is the free gift, for it is through the offerings that many be dead, such more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, have abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto give justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Now, during the time of the people that I think were great, like Blake and, well, I guess Blake is probably one of the few that I think are great, Wayne Blake, but this way of thinking was well known. The idea that I could be held responsible for the crime of my grandfather is mind-blowing to this generation.
Yeah.
But the reason it is because, again, this great deception that the Antichrist has come upon and the God of this world, so that you will not know that because of one man, Adam, death reigns. I mean, that you are responsible for the sin of Adam. Now,
down the male side.
Right. Now, the idea, the way to think about it is, let's assume not just that you're not, well, how can I be responsible for something my grandfather did? Think about it another way. What would have happened to you if your grandfather had died at birth? Where would you be?
He would have
died at his birth also.
Huh?
You would have died at his birth also.
You would have died at his birth.
So you died his death.
Hmm. Do you understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah, what if the crime were blue eyes? Which comes down, I mean, it's DNA, it's genetic.
The crime were what?
Blue eyes.
I mean, or certain kinds of cells.
See, in Thailand,
it just comes down through.
If you murder somebody, they execute your entire family.
Right. In Korea, when I was in Korea in the 50s, the Korean persona would not accept. There were all kinds of prostitutes. There's much prostitution going on. If there was a Korean baby born from the union of an American or a Turk or a black guy or something, their culture wouldn't accept that child, they would kill it. Or just they couldn't kill it, so they just leave it by the side of the road, the baby, to die. the daughter, if the daughter had compassion on her own flesh, and she went, wanted to save the baby, she had to leave her culture, period. And for 99% of them, they couldn't, so they didn't. They just left the baby to die by the side of the road. Now, we can't conceive of that.
Another thing that blew me away when I was in Thailand is if a woman has twins, she will kill them both, because twins in that culture are considered evil.
Evil.
And the fact that we can't conceive it is one of the ways behind it.
Right, and what causes, what its fruit is that we can't conceive of our own sin. That's the end result of it. We automatically think in terms of, well, that's not just. And well, in fact, a group of us formed an orphanage. It's still there for these kids that were. I mean, you know, that's a neat thing to do.
I mean, that's sort of what the natural balance
is. To see that separation. Okay, Romans 3.
As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre, with their tongues they have used deceit, the poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes.
Okay. That is not another class or another dispensation. That's you and I. Now, then the next couple of verses are really wild. If you think about it, if you think that all of that is the predicate, all of what we're about to really get into is the law. It says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. In other words, the only purpose that God has for this law is to shut up your mouth. But when you go to church, or you go to Israel, you'll find that they take the thing that God created to show that all men were guilty and shut up their mouth, they take pieces of it out. And they apply them to that which they can contain, or they can do, and they get their own righteousness by it. You understand? Can you imagine how pissed off God's going to be? Or is? When man took something that he created in order to shut up your mouth so you wouldn't have any righteousness, you wouldn't point any fingers, you couldn't condemn anybody else, instead you take little pieces of it and make you believe you are better than some other person, we're talking pissed. In fact, he uses that, people that do that, he said, are blaspheming the name of God daily. All right. Job 25.
Then answered Bildad the Shuhite and said, dominion and fear are with him. He maketh peace in his high places. Is there any number of his armies, and upon whom doth not his light arise? How then can man be justified with God, or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Behold, even to the moon, and it shineth not, yea, the stars are not pure in his sight. How much less man than is a worm, and the son of man, which is a worm.
Okay. Dominion and fear are with him. He maketh peace in his high places. He's talking about Christ. And then he goes on. The son of man, which is a worm. I mean, you understand that the best that you can be is a worm from this standpoint. Can you see that? I mean, can you see how fruitless and ridiculous it is to take thought for tomorrow? Abandon yourself. Pick up your cross. Then you will follow him automatically. And you'll follow him in joy. Your joy would be full. And his joy might remain in you. All right. Let's go back to Genesis. This is the book of the generations of Adam. Well, we just sort of zipped on through the generations of Adam there. See how far we can get. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. Now, so Adam lived to be 930 years old. That's a bunch. That's a bunch.
And he did one thing that mattered, and that was he
bought himself a TV. Would you go back to where it talked about after his image, you know, and you said from then on it was
the image of God. It was the image of the fall. In the beginning, it was the image of God, and afterwards, it's the image of the fall. Understand? Spiritually, you became a child of Satan, all of his descendants. The son of the serpent, the best you can be, the best Adam can be, is a child of Satan. That's the image of Adam. Okay? And all the days of Adam, it says that right there. All the days that Adam lived were 930 years and he died. And then if you believe that thing over in Genesis 3, it says, if you eat of that fruit of that tree, in dying you shall surely die. Here, in dying, he died. He surely died at the cross. Do you understand? No, you don't. Well, that's all right.
Yeah.
You do?
Sort of, yeah.
You do?
Sort of. Maybe not really. Well, then
you're back. Go ahead. Oh, come on, Harry, share it with the congregation.
Okay. We need to laugh.
Come on, brother Harry.
No.
No.
It's a Catholic kind of thing, I'm not going to say.
And Seth lived 105 years. And he begat Enos.
Can you say that?
Harry, you say Enos.
And Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died.
Question, this is kind of controversial, but are the people who they're listening here, like the firstborn son, is that why it's like that? And then they say sons and daughters after that. Okay.
And daughters could be listed. Remember, we talked about that. Daughters could be born first, but what's listed is the firstborn. It's the, what's that word, progenitor? The
primogenitor.
That's it. Primogenitor.
And these guys all usually have a lot more than one wife.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, he had a whole...
You know, I mean, they're populating like crazy. They're
right. I mean, we're at the time, which is just like one more, almost less than one chapter here.
Noah,
when they have the flood... Population of the earth is about, it's anywhere from 25 million at the low end to 250 million at the high end.
Shoot.
Well, really?
Many people.
I didn't realize that many.
Lots of fossil fuel.
But by the same token, listen. Let's assume there were 25 million. That's the low end. Of the 25 million people, only Noah believed. Shoot. Seven others were covered by his belief. That's big time. You think it's rare? It's always been rare. It's the rarest thing in the universe that someone would understand the cross. It never has been popular, never can be. It's always been the most rare of rarity. Tease. All right. And Enos lived 90 years and begot Kenan. Everybody remember what Kenan means? Kenan means merchant or trader. It's the same root as the word Canaan. And Enos lived after he begot Kenan 815 years and begot sons and daughters, and all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. And Kenan lived 70 years and begot Mahalalel. Mahalalel.
That's why.
Mahalalel. Mahalalel.
That's okay.
Mahalalel. Mahalalel.
Thank you.
Mahalalel.
That's probably the longest sermon on Mahalalel that has ever been.
Mahalalel. Well, it better be, because you know what Mahalalel means?
What? Praiser of God.
The praiser of God, or the praise of God.
Oh, that's where we get Hallelujah.
Is it Hallel?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I'm getting a headache from this.
Get thee to New
Jersey. And all the days of Kainan were 910 years, and he died. And Mahalalel lived 65 years and begat Jared. Jarhead.
We got a curve going this way.
We got a curve going.
It's definitely.
Curve's going downward. Jarhead.
Jarhead.
That's what it says.
Jarhead.
Oh, God.
Jarhead. Jarhead.
I'm going to tell him you said that.
Jarhead. Another word. How'd you like to be named Cast Down?
That's what my uncle is. Oh, I think I'll name it Cast Down.
Well, that's what Jarhead is, Cast Down.
Wow.
Like your first name. Hi, I'm depressed.
I'm depressed.
Smarmy.
Hi. Depressed Fox here.
This is depressed. That's what Cast Down or depressed or descend down.
Well, but it's easier to say than Mahalalel, so that's why people name their sons Jared.
Hi, bad trip here.
895, he was a young one.
Yeah.
Oh,
fuck.
Okay.
For almost 10 centuries.
What?
9 centuries.
What?
Imagine being depressed that long, walking around.
It is black.
This is amazing.
Here he comes again.
He's coming back.
I've seen 200 years and he's still depressed.
That's right. He's been coming to my parties for 700 years. I hate this.
So we're going to have to put up with this in the radio tomorrow?
No.
Let's get to Enoch.
And Jared lived 162 years, and he begot Enoch.
Yay!
We're gonna quit at Enoch.
Oh!
We're gonna quit at Enoch.
Okay.
It's Rick's fault, so everybody do that right.
Yeah, Rick's fault. Rick has a joke.
Damn.
Rick came up with a joke.
What? You're the accuser.
Who's the accuser?
Shoulder. Say, take it, big guy.
Take it, big guy.